In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There you go. OTAs going on. I've always thought, Daryl, football is so overcoached. I think that the fact that these are voluntary workouts lends itself to part of that.
I don't know. I think there's Browns fans out there, Jeff, that would argue that the Browns are undercoached.
I'm sure that there are many fan bases that feel that way about their respective teams. That said, there is some value to be had in these workouts for certain players and certain position groups.
Like quarterbacks.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that coming up here at 10:40. And going to do it in a little different way because I want to dig into Daryl's expertise on this situation. And you do have expertise on this, so I hope you enjoy it. So that's coming up in a little bit. What did you see when you were out there? And OTA access limited to the media, but that's okay. You know, I mean, that's okay. I do remember back in the day, and you'll be envious of this. No, you actually will. We used to be able to watch practice from beginning to end.
We watch practice from beginning to end
every day.
Oh, you mean, yeah, right.
Every day.
Used to be able to dine in the cafeteria with the players too, back in the day too.
And not in my day.
Okay.
Yeah, not in my day.
I've heard stories.
Not in my day. But we used to be able to sit there and watch practice all the time. It was great.
We can do that in the off season, not so much during the regular season.
You could really pick up a lot too.
We really get a lot out of those stretching sessions we watch during the regular season, you know, after we take our attendance.
But you did get to watch some things out there.
Yeah, we saw a few things.
What, if anything, stood out to you? Knowing that it's OTAs, it's voluntary, they're not in pads, and they're not doing excessive amounts of great football work.
Well, I'll say this. It's tempting to put people in Canton, Ohio after watching one OTA practice, that's for sure.
Who's on their way?
Mason Graham. Oh, man, tearing it up inside when they're not really blocking. And they're not really, you know, popping pads. I think that, and I mentioned this on X earlier in the week, the most noticeable thing for me was how good Shedeur Sanders looked in comparison to how he looked in rookie camp. Yeah. Now, I say that he looked good in rookie camp, like he did. But you could just, there was a noticeable difference watching him on Wednesday versus what we saw the 2 days
from
of rookie camp.
From a physical standpoint or from a, boy, it looks like
mechanics,
he's...
The ball's coming out of the hand a little tighter.
Okay.
Got a little more zip on it. Tighter spirals. Footwork.
Still needs some work.
He's too early to
tell if somebody's really into the playbook and knows what's going on.
Yeah. I felt like he had studied the playbook in rookie camp, too. Like, he looked like he knew what he was doing.
Terrific.
Out there. But just, you could tell that he's working.
Yeah.
And you can tell that the coaches are working with him. They got to get the dancing in the pocket thing out of his system, I think. He has what I like to call happy feet. And that is...
We saw that a lot last year, yeah, early in the season.
Well, and I understand why he had happy feet last season, because his offensive line was, yeah, hot garbage.
With no running game to help him.
Right.
Or at least not the kind of running game you'd really want to have help him.
Right. But like when you're doing drills where it's like a 7-on-7 and there's no pressure and you've got happy feet doing those drills, because I think mentally in his mind, he's like anticipating that there's actually pressure there that he's having to deal with.
Sure.
I think
he's been programmed for that. After,
right.
Yeah.
Right. The circumstances are what they are.
Sure.
And hopefully those aren't circumstances that are going to follow him to the NFL. Hopefully the Browns are able to provide him better protection. But like, I just caution people when it comes to the whole Shadur hype right now, that I don't feel like the Browns have the sense of urgency to play him that all the national talking heads want to talk about, him winning this quarterback competition and he's got to be the favorite and this, that, and the other. Because quite frankly, you just don't have any idea what the Browns really are up to and what they're thinking and how they're going about doing things. So just like, I really feel like they want to develop this kid the right way, Jeff. And they don't want to put him on the field.
And Darryl, good for them.
Right. Isn't a criticism.
I'm with you completely on this, because, and let's throw Dylan Gabriel in there too.
Yeah.
If you thought either one of those guys was a slam dunk quarterback option,
you probably weren't using third and fifth round picks on them.
Thank you. That doesn't mean you can't develop guys and have them become good NFL quarterbacks.
Right. So like, I think that I see the potential in Shadur. Okay, I'm not sitting here saying that this kid can't play.
We're going to dig into this a little bit more coming up
in
a bit.
But like, let's slow the roll here.
Okay,
he's number four on the depth chart. There's some tangible talent there, but I really believe they want to develop this kid the right way, and they want to put, when they put him on the field, Jeff, it's in a situation where he can be successful and they're not just throwing a kid to the wolves.
They brought in a lot of young wide receivers because you have four quarterbacks who are throwing passes. You need more wide receivers, and they brought some in. Are you surprised that they brought in young guys who, you know, they signed out of rookie camp,
right,
as opposed to maybe adding a veteran body or two from some free agents who are still out there and available? For instance, Keenan Allen is still out there. DJ Chark, who I like a lot. And guys I wouldn't mind having on this team for depth. Instead, they went young. Anybody step out to you at the wide receiver spot who you think, that guy might have a chance to stick?
Well, I mean, he's not a young guy, but like Jerry Jeudy caught it at anything that was thrown within like the same area code of him.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he put on a show on Wednesday.
Good.
Yeah.
With every quarterback?
Yeah.
I think that's key and that's great.
Yeah, and so I think somebody asked him, he was talking while the quarterbacks were talking, and I thought I saw something. He was asked something along the lines of, you know, I don't know, do you have a favorite quarterback right now or who threw it best or whatever? And he's like, yeah, I'm not going there. You know, I know
smart
what you're going.
Smart move, Jer.
Yeah, not going there, know what you're after, whatever. I think that there's a couple of reasons why they're not going the veteran route right now. I think this is a big year for Cedric Tillman. I think this is a big year for Michael Woods. I think this is a big year for your long-lost favorite, David Bell, right?
That's Andy's. Mine is Cedric.
Yours is Cedric, okay. It's hard to keep track of you two, you know?
I know.
You both love your receiver room. That's one thing I know about you both. You can't get enough of the wide receivers.
I don't love it because it's lacking.
But this is a year...
I do like Cedric Tillman, and... Yeah. His physical attributes, Darryl, are worth, you know, paying attention to.
Yeah.
And he looked so good last year with Jameis throwing him the football before the concussion. And I feel we were all cheated last year because he got the concussion and missed, what, six games?
Yeah.
Because he looked like he was on his way to answering the question, can this guy be a real productive wide receiver? He
right.
looked really good.
Yeah. Jamari Thrash is another guy. I think it was a fifth round pick.
Yeah.
So
And sometimes you see guys step up at wide receiver who were later round picks and really become something.
Yeah, so I get where you're coming from about wanting another veteran in that mix. But
and could that still happen at the end of toward the end of training camp? Somebody gets cut loose, like Gabe Davis is still a free agent.
I mean, I think it, you know, when you get toward the end of August there, right? But, again, I'm going to caution people because I remember these days. You know, the Browns would claim a player on waivers at the on cutdown day or whatever. They get awarded a player, I should say, on waivers on cutdown day. And fans would be like, ah, that guy's in for like a mega season and he's going to really put. And it's like.
He gets cut by week two.
He got cut. Okay. I'm reminded of the old GM adage. There's a reason guys are available. And you have to remember that. But I think that,
I just wonder if there's enough. If there's enough depth on this team
they
now.
They want to get these kids reps, Jeff. I think that's what they're going for.
And see if maybe they find one or two guys out of this.
Similar to the quarterback situation, right? I mean, Kevin's splitting these guys up on fields and that. They got to get these young wide receivers some reps and find out what they have at that position, not named Jerry Jeudy or even Cedric Tillman. I think Cedric's a known quantity. I know you said you felt a little cheated last year because he missed the time with the concussion.
I
think that there's a part there where he's like a known quantity.
I would agree, Daryl. I just think it's too bad that he had the concussion
because
he could have. I think he could have solidified his spot as the number one or number two. Or excuse me, number two or number three wide receiver on this team. How about Deontay Johnson?
Well,
because Daryl, he was really good in Pittsburgh for a while.
Need to see him first.
True.
needs to be on the field for me to have an opinion.
Do you like the concept of Deontay Johnson? And do you?
I don't know yet.
Guys who spend a year bouncing between three teams.
It's not great.
And no, it's not.
There's a reason for it.
He was okay in Carolina, though. I understand why Carolina moved on. Because he was on a one-year deal, and they thought, all right, he's doing okay. Let's trade him. We can get something for him because we're not going to bring him back next year.
Yeah.
I get that.
I got to see him.
Does he answer a question, though?
I need to see him before I can give you an honest view on that. I got to see it. didn't get to see it this week. And that's what, and again, this is all voluntary, and I don't have any hot takes about who was there and who wasn't there and why they weren't there, what country they were in or what. It's voluntary. Kevin said it like 8 times on Wednesday, reminding him it's voluntary. There's, you know, Meredith in the jump. She's mentioning other guys that, you know, either aren't there because of injury or what. It's voluntary.
Do you think it bothers coaches? Guys don't show up.
Oh, 100%.
Even though Kevin says voluntary, inside he's thinking, God, I wish he was here.
They just gave Myles Garrett $40 million a year. You mean the guy couldn't show up for OTAs? And again, I'm not criticizing Miles because I don't care. I don't have a dog in the fight. Doesn't matter to me. Okay? He is what he is. We all know what he is. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's paid to sack quarterbacks. Okay?
And he does.
Which he does.
Yep.
So, really, does he really have to be there? Like, kind of like Joe Thomas late in his career, right? Joe Thomas don't need to practice. He's Joe freaking Thomas. Joel Bitonio. He's Joel Bitonio. He didn't need spring football practice.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So Myles Garrett really doesn't need spring football practice. But then there is that like sliver in me that understands why some people might feel the way they do about Miles and leadership. And he should be there as a leader just to set the example, yada, yada, yada. I get it. I'll hear that argument. But I just can't work myself up over someone not showing up for voluntary work. Like, I'm at the age where voluntary work is not a thing to me. I'm not showing up unless I need to be there. Unless I'm getting paid, I'm not going to be there. That's just where I am in life. And so
let me throw a thought to you from a friend of mine. Back in the day when I was working in Texas, and this is perfect for you on this, and I think it's perfect for these guys too. A friend of mine, and she was an experienced news reporter who was in our silly little town because her husband was a big-time reporter in Houston.
Right.
She wanted to keep working. And our news director said to her one day, hey, can you come in on Saturday and run the assignment desk or something like that? And she looked and she said, what are you going to pay me? And he said, well, no. She said, sorry, I work for a living, not for a hobby. And that's And she was right. And
right.
In guys who don't show up for OTAs, you want me there? Make it mandatory. I'll show up.
Right.
If it's voluntary, I don't have to show up. Daryl touched on some Shedeur Sanders thoughts. The Browns coaching staff has four real things to figure out about these quarterbacks. And we're going to do that next. Daryl and I are going to break it down. What really is Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco or Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders? Next on Baskin and Phelps, Daryl's in for Andy. And Daryl Ryder.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Our Browns beat reporter in studio with me today, in for Andy Baskin. It's going to help us break it all down. I'm Jeff Phelps. DR is here. Meredith is behind the glass. And Matt Corelli taking your phone calls, 216-474-0092. Daryl, they have to answer questions about each one of these guys. And obviously, you're not going to do it in OTAs. But I'm going to throw the questions that need answered about each one of these guys to you. And then I want us to bounce back and forth with this and just have a little discussion about each guy.
You want me to have answers after one OTA practice?
No, I want you to give predictions to me.
Oh, predictions.
Basically your thoughts about how this might play out.
I'm very good at predictions, except for when it comes to picking lottery numbers.
Yeah, I know. I bought one today. I'm not going to win. There are questions about each one of these guys. To me, each one of these quarterbacks has intriguing things about him. Each one. And each guy has huge question marks that make me wonder a little bit. And let's start with the veterans on this, okay? What is Kenny Pickett? Is Kenny Pickett a guy who was a first-round draft choice with a record of 15-10 as a starter, who had fourth-quarter comebacks and game-winning drives in Pittsburgh in an offense that was so bad that the offensive coordinator got fired? And was able to kind of rise above that and do some good things? Or was he a first-round pick by a team that was desperate for a quarterback and overdrafted him in a bad quarterback draft and then wasn't good enough to make them not sign Russell Wilson and Justin Fields and then just go ahead and trade him when he asked to be traded and he goes to Philadelphia and maybe is on the path to being a career backup? What is he? What are the Browns going to discover?
I think it's a combination of both. And I'm not ducking the premise of the question, but I think he's a combination of both. He has to prove himself as a starter. I think that there is something there. He talked about this on Wednesday too, in his time with Pittsburgh. He found ways to win games. It wasn't pretty, but when the game was on the line, he just seemed to find a way in those final 5 minutes to make just enough plays to barely win the game.
On a team that offensively was not very good.
Right, and as you mentioned, O Canada is no longer there, and yeah. There's a reason for that, right? And you would think that, Tommy Rees and Kevin Stefanski, a little bit of an upgrade there.
You would think so? You would hope so.
But, you know, I've been saying quite a bit, tongue-in-cheek this offseason, how the Browns love themselves some Kenny Pickett. And I'm trying to figure out why that is. And maybe it is because they recognize the situation he was in with the Steelers, the type of offense that he was in. But they looked at those fourth quarters and were saying to themselves, look,
look what he did.
In spite of all of this other stuff surrounding him, okay, yeah, the tape isn't pretty, but kid went out and just found a way ultimately to get it. Because there's only one statistic that matters. It's not your completion percentage. It's not your touchdown to interception ratio. It's wins and losses.
Like he's 15-10 as a starter.
I know, and there's people say, well, wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. Well, yeah, they are.
They kind of are.
Yeah. You know, Joe Flacco, 5-1 as a Browns regular season starting quarterback. 5-2 if you include the playoffs. Or 4-1, I should say. 4-2 if you include the playoffs. But I don't know, that's a pretty good winning percentage for me, 2-1 ratio.
Everybody hangs their hat on that with Joe here.
I know.
So you got to give Kenny Pickett credit for that as well.
Right. So I think that they feel like there is something there that's worth exploring. They gave up nothing to get him.
No.
Okay, they're getting a look-see at a guy who's in his fourth year. Yeah,
which is really young. He's still only, 25 years old?
Yeah, they declined the fifth-year option because trying to pay him $21 million next year is just it's like stupid football business.
Yep.
You take a look at him. It's worth a peek. Cost you nothing to look. Nothing wrong with that. And I think that's what they're doing. And if they like what they see, they'll give him an opportunity. And if they don't like what they see, we're going to know pretty fast because he's not going to be playing for the Cleveland Browns. He's either not going to be on the team or he's going to be holding a clipboard.
Or traded. Yeah, he could be traded, he could be cut, or he could just be standing there watching somebody else play quarterback. This one has just separated the fan base. What really is Joe Flacco right now? Is Joe a quarterback who was pretty solid on some really good Baltimore teams, won a Super Bowl MVP? His record there was okay, but the defense got so much credit during his stretch in Baltimore and the running game, and who was great and so entertaining and so much fun in 5 starts in the regular season with the Browns after being out of the NFL? Or is he the guy who, since Baltimore, take out his stint in Cleveland, has a record of 5-18 as a starter? Didn't work with the Jets, didn't work with Denver, didn't work in the stretch in Indianapolis last year where they wanted him to replace Anthony Richardson because Richardson certainly wasn't ready to go. And then they ended up bringing him back because Joe was 2-4 there and it just really wasn't getting done despite really still being able to throw the football. What is Joe Flacco right now?
I think he's a guy that's on the 18th green. The end is near.
Which is okay because he's 40 years old.
Right.
I get that. And see, that's the thing that keeps sticking with me because we have so many folks who will call and Joe can still throw it, but he throws it all over the place. But if all goes well, he's not the starter here, Darryl. Is he? Because he's 40 years old. You hope one of these young guys jumps up and beats him out and wins the job because that might give you a chance to have somebody long term.
Yeah, this will come across as a dig at Joe, and it's not meant to be.
Because you and I both like him.
Yeah, I love him. I love his professionalism. I love his maturity. I love the way he approaches the game. I love the way he approaches the game, both on the field as well as behind the scenes. I love how he conducts himself in the locker room. I love how players gravitate toward him in the locker room.
And they do.
They do.
Be said about every quarterback that's on the roster.
But I'm also realistic about where he is in his career.
See, that's
and I got to be honest with you.
That's the catch, Darryl.
If he wins the starting quarterback job, the Browns have a problem. And again, I know that comes across as a dig at Joe.
I couldn't agree with you more.
But it's not. But what it means is that Kenny Pickett wasn't good enough to beat him out.
And the
kids aren't ready.
And the kids aren't ready.
And again,
may never be.
Well, I don't know about that.
Exactly. But that, like, and that's part of the question here.
What you can't do to these kids is put them on the field before they're ready to be put on the field.
We've seen that here. It hasn't worked multiple times.
The next time it works will be the first. Mm-hmm. Okay? And there's talent there with both of them. Gabriel's got some talent. Shador has talent.
We're going to get to them.
But I'm just, you know, in the overall scope of things, but like if Joe Flacco's winning this quarterback competition, well, I don't know that that's a good thing. And the more I think about it, the benefit of having Joe right now is that Shador and Dylan and Kenny can watch him and how he goes about his daily business. I loved what he said the other day.
He was
about
great,
leadership.
Wasn't he? Yeah, he was really good.
You know, I absolutely, first of all, he said, listen, no matter how I answer this question, it is going to be used against me. You guys are going to write whatever you're going to write, and it's going to get used against me. But for me, leadership is I go out and handle my business professionally, and it's on you to ask the questions, and if you ask the questions, I'll answer them, and it's on you to watch and absorb what I do and copy it. And I'm not, it's not my job to force you to do it. It's not my job to yell at you. It's not my job to tell you what to do. It's your job via basic osmosis to follow my lead. That's how I view mentorship. That's how I view leadership. I thought it was a brilliant, honest, insightful answer.
And I think that's the benefit he brings. Don't you agree with him?
100%.
I do too.
100%. I absolutely love Joe Flacco and respect him. But like from a football standpoint, Jeff, you know, his benefit to you right now is showing these kids, this is how I go about my business on the daily, okay? This is how I prepare for practice. This is how I take care of my body in between practice and whatnot. This is how I study the playbook. This is how I study film.
How I conduct myself on the practice field.
How I interact with the media and answer the gotcha questions that are getting thrown at me, right?
Yeah.
I think there's a tremendous value there. I don't know. When I look at where the Browns are at in their team building, status or, you know, state, and especially in the quarterback room, I don't know if playing Joe Flacco accomplishes what you need to accomplish this year, which from my standpoint is you need to find out if any of these kids can play, whether it's Pickett, whether it's Gabriel, whether it's Sanders. Like, you've got to come away with some tangible answer. Now, I think you can learn things without, like, for instance, Shador, and we'll get into him, but like, I don't necessarily think you have to put them on the field to learn, because you're going to see things behind the scenes. You're going to see practice and all that, right? There's stuff you can learn about.
You're going to see how he is in the meeting.
Right. You can see if there's growth. Like I said, I saw growth between, I saw him practice 3 days, Jeff. Okay. I've seen him practice 3 days total this offseason. And there is a tangible difference between what I saw the first time versus what I see now.
And that's outstanding.
I don't know if playing Joe accomplishes that. I think his value right now, and he doesn't want to hear it, he's a competitor. He's trying to win this job.
Okay? Can't blame him.
Okay?
It's fun, and there's money to be made.
But I think his biggest value right now is the leadership by example and teaching these kids how it's done by just showing them. And then it's on each of them to take away from that experience, being in that room with him, being in the locker room with him, being on the field with him. It's on them to pick up whatever they need to pick up. I don't know. I mean, you play him, right? If he wins the competition, let's just, to premise your question here, right? Let's say he wins this competition. I think part of that, you can sell that to fans, right? Fans love him.
Fans would remember what he did in 2023. From folks who have called us, most fans would be just fine with that.
They have no problem with Joe Flacco starting week one against the Bengals.
But you and I are in the same spot, because then we would think, all right, you had three guys who either weren't ready or just won't be good enough.
I think they learn more about starting Kenny Pickett week one than they do Joe Flacco.
I agree completely.
And again, I'm not knocking Joe. I'm not criticizing Joe. I'm looking at this from...
You might think Kenny Pickett could be the quarterback long-term here.
Right.
That, see, that's the catch.
But if Kenny can't beat Joe out for that job,
tells you all you need to know.
Tells you what you need to know. Yep. And then your focus goes to, okay, now we've got to get Gabriel and Sanders ready to go.
And see which one might be ready to go. And that's the catch here. Again, I so enjoyed listening to Flacco the other day when he spoke, and I agree with you. What he said was right on the money. I just think there's no upside with Joe. And it's not his fault. He's 40 years old. And though he can still spin it, he hasn't been wildly successful since he left Baltimore. We're in the same boat. I think it's terrific that he's here. If he's on the roster at the beginning of the year, okay, that's fine. But if you're starting him, I think it's a bit of an issue. And it, to me, it means what you said, mainly that Pickett's not ready to go. Gabriel, Sanders, what are those guys? Because, man, there are questions surrounding each one of these guys that if you're a fan, huge, huge, huge upside for each guy. And if you're not, some real glaring things that'll point to why you're not. We're going to dig into it next on Baskin and Phelps. Daryl, in for Andy.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Mm. Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa! Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hat and cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.